Welcome to the Pro Basketball Talk podcast. I'm Dan Feldman. I'm here with Kurt Helin, and we're going to do something a little different this year for our season preview. I think a lot of season previews are lacking, predictions especially, are lacking in providing the right amount of context. We could say, who do you think is going to win MVP? I can't ask Kurt that because we're about to do a contest here, and I don't want to get his answer. I might be giving something away in mine. But if somebody says who's going to win MVP, you can look at the odds. You can see Luka Doncic is the favorite, and you can easily answer Luka Doncic or pick any player you want. If you know what you're doing, though, you probably think the actual answer is not Luka Doncic or not any one specific player. The odds are for the field for an award like that, and for really for a lot of these honors, it's rare somebody should be favored against the field. And so, yeah, I could put down Luka Doncic. I'll probably be wrong. But my true prediction is somebody else. I'd always rather pick somebody else. And so I want to try and contextualize where that is. How confident are we in the favorites? How many favorites would we need to be favored over the field? So we're going to play a little game here. We've got nine categories lined up to predict. And the way it's going to work, I think this will make more sense to everybody listening as we go. It's not complicated. The way it's going to work is we're going to name a category. And then we're each going to say, we've written down our numbers beforehand. We're not bidding against each other, but we're going to name a number where, so the first one we're going to do is NBA champion. And we're going to name a number where I'm going to say, what's the lowest number where if I could get this many teams, I'd be more confident that one of these teams is going to win the title than anybody else. So let's start with NBA champion. Let's just jump right into it, Kurt. My number is 3. If I can get the three teams I think are most likely to be the NBA champion, I would take that over the other 27. What is your number for NBA champion?
Wow, you actually went lower than me. I had 4.
Okay.
We probably overlap on a couple of those. But let me guess. The Nets are on your list.
Yes, they sure are.
Yeah, I think the Nets and the Bucks are kind of the givens.
Yes, those are 2. And I also took the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly evenly split. After Nets and Bucks, there are several teams that I'm nervous about leaving off. But who is your 4th?
The Jazz. It's the one team.
Wow, that was my 4th, and I thought that was unconventional.
It's the one team that I think is capable of sneaking up into that group. I think they're going to have the best regular season record in the West. Just the continuity they bring back and
be
stuff.
Be careful. Don't give me too much information for one of our next questions.
Sorry. But I think that they're one of those teams who is capable. Now, they've got to stay healthy, and I think because they play as an ensemble, there's just more margin for error if you're the Bucks, or you know, the Bucks can lose Dante DiVincenzo for the playoffs and still win the championship. I think the Nets and Lakers have, as long as their core guys are there, they have a little of that flexibility. I think the Jazz, that margin for error slips. Like if Joe Ingles isn't there, that hurts them a lot more than missing a role player on those other teams. But they're the one team I think is, I just have a feeling that this is the make or break year for them, and they are capable of a Bucks-like leap.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm way higher on the Jazz, I think, than most. I think right almost there. And look, I could go back and forth, Lakers, Jazz. I even put Suns in that mix, too. I think they're going to be really good.
I was going to ask you about that. Are you lower on the Suns, or
higher on the Suns.
I feel like a lot of things went right for them that I just am not sure that things are going to break that way for them again. And so I trying to keep the number low. I kept them off here, but they would have been my next. Well, them are the, I don't want to go too far down this road because we've got to discuss it. We'll discuss the East in a minute. There are other teams that I think if things go right type of thing, but I mean, you could do that if things go, I don't think the Warriors are going to win the championship this year, but go ahead.
The Warriors are the team I had next, right? So Nets, Bucks were easy choices. I thought about maybe doing it with 2, but that wasn't, especially with Kyrie Irving's status. You lose some faith in the Nets. I needed a 3rd one in there. I'm glad I got it and still got it in there under you. I almost could have said 2. But to me, Lakers, Jazz, Suns, and Warriors were the ones I considered for that 3rd spot. I think honestly, with any of those, I would have taken 3. I feel most confident in the Lakers. I think they've got that upside with LeBron, with Anthony Davis. I'm not enthralled with how Russell Westbrook is going to fit onto this team. But the Warriors, I don't think, are that far behind. They were really good last year when they didn't play James Wiseman, when they didn't play Kelly Oubre. Oubre's gone, and they don't have to play Wiseman as much. They figured out down the stretch last year how it could look without him. They can maybe he'll be better. In the second year, he should be better. He had so little experience at Memphis. Like, he could be better, and that could be the solution. But if he's not fitting better, they don't have to play him. I think they are a legit championship contender, too.
A, you're counting on Klay Thompson.
I'm not.
Coming. Really? Oh, I think they have to have – I think they need all NBA Klay by the playoffs.
That'd be a bonus, of course. But I think they're a championship contender even without Klay Thompson. I was just so impressed with how they looked when they got rid of some of those ill-fitting guys late last season.
The other thing I think with Wiseman, I really liked what Steve Kerr said. It kind of slipped under the radar. But during the playoffs last year, you know, DeAndre Ayton's making his leap. And Kerr came out and said – I'm taking something away from that. They've simplified the game for Ayton. They strip, you know, I feel like it's a quarterback. Like, hey, we're not giving him all these reads anymore. He's not Tom Brady. He's a rookie. Let's give him two reads, man, two reads and then throw the ball away. I think you can do that with Wiseman a little bit this year. Just strip the game down, make it much more simple for him in his second year. I'm not saying he's going to make an Ayton-like leap, but I think he can be useful for them in a way he just wasn't last year.
I agree, but I wonder whether that'll be their mentality, his mentality. I see, you know, what he can bring as a screener roller. I'm still concerned by his defensive awareness, but offensively, doing those simplified things, I think could be very good. But I think they have this idea of he's got all this talent. He can shoot. He could maybe even handle some. Like, we can expand his game. We can turn him into a better player for the long run. And that's how we're going to win in the long run. To me, you got a championship contender. You do what you need to do in the short term to have him contribute. So I don't know if that's the approach he'll take, but I'm with you that that's available to them.
Yeah. I think it also just depends on how it goes. You can try that out and it may not work.
True. All right, let's go to the East before you reveal too much more about how you're feeling about these teams.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
All right, so for the East, this is East champion. So who's going to represent the East in the finals? I've got two teams where I take two over the other 13. How many teams do you have?
I have two as well.
Okay. I know we have the same teams.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that it was very, very hard for me to leave the Heat out of there. I'm a believer. I don't think they're going to be I think they're going to be a fine regular season team. I think they're a playoff team, but I think they are the kind of team that can come together and be a real problem in the playoffs with Bam Adebayo playing defense in the paint, Jimmy Butler on the wing, a healthy Kyle Lowry, shooting from Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. Like, I think that they have the kind of versatility and roster that can come together for a playoff run. I'm not sure that they're going to put that together, but to me, it's still kind of – there are two teams that separate themselves, and one of those two is very likely to come out of the East. So I think it's I'm with you. I think it's a two team thing. I just Miami is my kind of clear third once you get to the playoffs. But I'm not sure they'll be third in the regular season. That might be Atlanta or somebody else.
Yeah, I'm also a bigger believer in them in the playoffs than the regular season. Let's go to the West, but real quick. So the way this is going to work, if we both have the same number, we're going to go back at the end for all the ones we have the same number and alternate which one you pick. So I'm going to give you the first pick when we go to that stage. Thank you for indulging me in this exercise. And so for all the ones we have the same number, basically you're just going to pick them in the order of confidence of how good you felt about that one. All right, so to the West, my number is 3. What is your number for the West champion?
I had 3 as well because I did put the Suns in there.
Okay, so you're okay. I guess we both have kind of given away that we actually have the same 3 teams on that one.
Yeah.
Lakers, Jazz, and Suns. Let's talk more about them when we revisit that one.
That's fair.
Now we're going to go to some individual awards. So we're going to give a number of players where you would take them over everybody else in the league, the hundreds and hundreds of other players who could win these awards. So for me, for MVP, to feel comfortable that I'm more than 50% to have the MVP winner in my group, I need 6 players. How many do you need?
Oh, you were a little lower than me. I had 8.
Okay. We'll see who the... I don't feel great about this. I think there are a couple of real strong candidates I left off, but I feel like 6 gives me just enough. So my 6, Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Who was my pick when we did predictions, but that was partially based on Ben Simmons not being there. Maybe he'll be there now, and so that probably hurts Embiid a little. I still think
– I don't think it hurts it that much, though. That's still Embiid's team, and I still expect him to feel he has to – he's got to step up and carry this team now. He's not – I don't think there's going to be any catering in Philly to Ben Simmons. By the way, Dan, just out of curiosity, because this could be a whole other podcast topic. If Simmons comes back and gets on the court, how do you think he handles it? Like the negativity around him? Because he's never been good with confrontation and negativity.
No, not at all. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if he actually gets on the court. I think it's going to be bad. I think fans are going to boo him. I think but here's the thing. I'm not sure if he cares at this point, right?
Like, yeah.
If he's just coasting through and is mentally checked out and defeated and all that happens, maybe that makes him more likely to be traded. Maybe that's part of the plan. Yeah. As far as Embiid, the two reasons I like him as an MVP candidate much more if Simmons weren't playing – I guess I got 3 reasons. One, I think they do step on each other's toes a little bit offensively. So if Simmons weren't there, it's more room for Embiid to thrive. Two, there's the narrative, if the 76ers are good without Simmons, of, wow, look at Joel Embiid stepping up in ways that he might have been doing anyway. But that narrative is there. And 3, if Simmons isn't playing, it's more likely they trade Simmons for better fitting players who can accentuate Embiid. But if Simmons is out there playing, I don't like Embiid quite as much. He's still high on my list, definitely one of my top 6. I also have Luka Doncic, favorite betting. You know, you can go to Points Bet, see the odds. I use that a lot for coming up with these picks here. He's the betting favorite. I've got Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he's going to get some benefit of the doubt after what he did in the playoffs last year. I've got Kevin Durant, maybe the best player in the league. He's got a lot more room, to shine with Kyrie Irving sideline. I've got LeBron, because LeBron – could be in the mix, right? There are a lot of people who just want to vote for LeBron. They believe he's the best player in the league, and he might be. He's going to get some benefit of the doubt. I also have Steph Curry. For all the reasons we were talking about before, about how I'm a Warriors believer, when they were really cooking, that was because Curry was doing so well. He could be in position to succeed again this year. There are a couple really strong candidates I left out that I don't feel good about. I'm curious. So you had 8. Did you have everybody on my list?
Yes.
Okay. And then so who are the other 2?
And by the way, well, there was the two guys you didn't pick last year's winner.
I know that was one of the I got 2 I feel really bad about leaving out, and he is one.
Yeah, I really think that's like, he's got a shot. Like, I think Denver's still going to be really good. I think they're probably a top 4 seed, and you know, we'll see when Jamal Murray gets back and how he's playing and what kind of threat that team is at the end of the year. Neither you nor I put them on our West or championship list. But if you told me Jamal Murray was all the way back, that would have been a different story. I'm not convinced that'll happen.
Agreed.
The other guy, and I mentioned this in the story we did at NBC, I have Anthony Davis in there. I think that this is he's got to stay healthy. He's got to play 70 plus games, but I think he can be a defensive force. We'll get to that later. I think he can be a defensive force and put up numbers. And I think they need him. Look, they're going to play him a lot more at center. Not constantly, but 2 years ago, if you looked at the numbers when he won the defensive all NBA first team center, which was more about getting the five best guys on the first team. But he was the all NBA first team center. He played about 40% of his minutes at the five. I expect to see more of that this year. Something closer to that number than was less than 20% last year. He didn't play a lot of five. I think you're going to see him move back to that position more because the Lakers need him. But I also think it showcases him a little better.
I'm with you on that. As far as Jokic, I'm a big believer in him and have been for a long time. My concern is just mostly narrative, right? He's won MVP. You really have to up your level to win back to back. That's just how it is. He's going to lose, I think, some benefit of the doubt there. And I just think it's a higher bar for him than some other players. And that kept him roughly seventh on my list. The guy I had who I was really kicking myself for leaving off was James Harden.
Yeah, that was another one that I was really close with.
Yeah, he's always in the MVP mix except for last year. And even last year, people were talking about him more seriously for awards than I thought was deserved, given that he sabotaged a team for part of the season. Even if it was only a week or two, that's a lot of negativity against other players who've been positive contributors all year. But he's always in the mix. And again, with Kyrie Irving out, that opens the door. We're in similar shape on those 6'8". I don't think that's a huge difference.
No.
I think we're seeing this similarly.
Ultimately, when it comes to the voting, I got a feeling Harden, Durant siphon from each other a little bit. Like if they both actually have really good seasons and both stay healthy, when it comes to who actually wins the award, I think it's if they both have good seasons, it becomes harder for one of them to win the award because they'll just split the vote a little bit. With the Nets. So we'll see what happens there. Like I said, I picked Luka, but I picked Luka, because I think Durant and Harden siphon votes off from each other a little bit, and in part because they didn't get a secondary ball handler in Dallas, man. It's still the Luka show. They do not, even if things go right for them and Porzingis makes us come back, return, takes a step forward, whatever, however you want to phrase that. Even if he finds his way, it's still Jalen Brunson, their next best shot creator. There's not much there.
Yep. Absolutely. And Reggie Bullock could, help.
Yeah.
Be even better in that primary role. And Anthony Davis, LeBron splitting votes too, potentially.
Yes. That actually could happen.
Yeah.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Let's jump over to Defensive Player of the Year. My number on that one is 3.
He still beat me. I had 4, but I bet I know who the guy I put in because I think he's got a real shot that you don't have there is.
All right, you tell me before I give you my 3. You tell me who it is.
I think the Clears, the people you probably have on the list, and Clear should be there. Rudy Gobert's won the thing 3 times, could easily win it a 4th. I picked Anthony Davis as a guy who could win it, and I think, again, at 5, and what the Lakers need from him on what is a bad perimeter defensive team. They're going to ask a lot of him, and he could showcase obviously Giannis Antetokounmpo, again, a previous winner. I have Bam Adebayo in there.
Interesting.
And that's the fourth that I think I had that you didn't, because I think he's got a real shot at this.
Yeah, yep, that is the fourth, and you did nail my three. What gives you faith in Bam? Because he was not my fourth.
Well, I think it's just, again, a lot's going to be asked of him, but I think he's going to step forward. I think defensively, they've got some challenges on the perimeter in Miami. I mean, Jimmy Butler can be a lockdown defender, but he tends not to do that all season long. He tends to pick his spots a little. Lowry's, again, not a terrible defender, but certainly not great. You know, Heron Robinson, some of the guys they have do it more with length. I just think a lot's going to be asked of him, but I think he's also capable of it, and he's going to be on a team. A lot of people are watching. I think this is a spot where he can kind of step up and be in that mix.
So I'm a bigger believer in his teammates' defense than it sounds like you are, especially Lowry. But that might actually help him, because sometimes owners are just like, well, wow, you had the best defense in the league. We need to assign all that credit to one person. Bam. And he, you know, there's a good chance he would be the one who deserves the most credit. But what maybe is a balanced defensive effort, including the coaching, right? Spoelstra is an excellent defensive coach. The one I had fourth was Joel Embiid. Didn't crack my list. I didn't need him. But, you know, if you asked Joel Embiid who's the best defender on the 76ers, he'd say him, not Ben Simmons, who got the defensive player of the year candidacy last year. And so if Philadelphia isn't getting much from Ben Simmons, if he's not playing much or however that goes, if he's traded, whatever, but they maintain a really high level of defense, I think Embiid would get a lot of credit. But you nailed on the typical candidates. I almost considered trying to go real low and go with one and just go with Rudy Gobert, because he is like such a reliable regular season defender. He is there. Like, he's awesome. Giannis, Anthony Davis, they're more dynamic. They could be there too.
Utah, it's real clear what he does defensively, right? Like, just because they've built their whole system, and it's not, again, another team of – I think you're going to see improved – like, Mike Conley's a solid, good perimeter defender. I think that Donovan Mitchell's capable of being a better perimeter defender than we've seen from him. But they've got – I think what showed up in the playoffs is that they have to clean that up, right? That the book on the – if you go five out, you can – they have to be better on the perimeter. Somebody has to stay in front of somebody, because you can pull Rudy out of the paint. So it's going to be interesting, but he's really clear what he does. And I think Bam can bring a little of that. By the way, I'm with you on Embiid, by the way. I think Joel Embiid is a very good defensive center. It was not easy leaving him off this list. Although I would disagree that maybe the best defender on that team is Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah. But in terms of you know, moments of defense, yes. I think biggest defensive impact is going to be Embiid because of minutes played, because of the position he plays on the court. When you're by the rim, it's more opportunities to affect the game. And then minutes, the even bigger thing.
They need more out of him. If he can provide a little more offensively, then they can give him the minutes they want to give him for the defense. But
you know, if they trade Ben Simmons for somebody who can shoot, that would make it easier, right? Like, you're really pressing your spacing already with just Simmons and Embiid, and now you want to put in Thybulle. That's tough. A different look 76ers team. Yeah, maybe that could work. On the other hand, it also another route to do that would have been a backup center who could shoot. They went with Andre Drummond, so there's even more minutes where do you want to play Thybulle and Andre Drummond together? I mean, he gets backups, like maybe you can get away with it, but there's limitations there.
Agreed.
Let's go to Rookie of the Year. I can't believe I'm coming under you on all of these. I expected I'd be more conservative. We'll see if this changes. Got some bigger numbers overall coming up. Maybe not right here. My Rookie of the Year number is 3.
Wow, I've got you there. I have 2. I think it's a two-man race.
I know you're 2.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham.
Yep. To me, it's – I'm curious who your third person is, because I think it's a – it's when it comes to Rookie of the Year, it's not just talent, it's opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's having the ball in your hands. And I'm not sure is going to have the ball in his hands enough. Mobley, I just don't think is there yet. I think the GM's picked Mobley as the best player 5 years from now. And that might be the case, but he's got a long way to go to get there. I just don't think he's there yet. So who's your third?
My third is Jalen Suggs. I think he's going to earn the role. I know the Magic have Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony, but I think Suggs is going to earn their role. I don't feel strongly about the third, right? I could have gone with Mobley, but they've got Jared Allen, and I'm just not sure he'll have the opportunity. I could have gone with Scottie Barnes, who I think is going to have a fairly substantial role in Toronto. I'm not sure he's going to put up the scoring numbers that typically Basil. Look, I could have gone with two. I almost went with two. Cade Cunningham, he's banged up. I'm not really sure what's going on there. And that was just enough to make me say I need a third person. I would have done three with any of the guys I just mentioned. I think Suggs has the best chance because of the way he plays. When you have the ball in your hands, it's an opportunity to rack up stats. That's what voters are often looking for, especially with an award like this. But I think it was pretty much a two-man race and the field. And so I just wanted to pick out just a little bit more of the field to feel comfortable with it. Jalen Green in Houston, obviously very well set up to have a huge role. Cade Cunningham set up to have a big role. Once he gets healthy, it's just that health made me a little uncertain.
Is there anybody down the board there like Şengün or somebody where you're like, man, they could sneak in and I don't know if they'd win it, but certainly get on the board. Like, are there? I was kept looking like, who am I missing here?
Oh, yeah. So I think there are a ton of players that have a chance and most of them will sound silly, right? Like, does Davion Mitchell in Sacramento?
Right? Yeah.
If he just looks like tenacious defensively and that transforms the team, what if James Booknight in Charlotte is ready to go as a scorer, put up numbers, right? I can like imagine a bunch of guys. Most rookies don't, right? But there is an opportunity for a surprise. I think you're probably okay with two. I think there's a decent chance. I took three for a reason, but I think you're in decent shape having those two. But this is a word where we've seen. Yeah, every once in a while somebody comes out of nowhere. That's not unheard of by any means.
Yeah, and that is the thing that I found challenging about this. It's like there are people every year we feel like we overlook somebody, and it's become, I mean, it's partially talent, but a lot of times it's just fit. It's a fit, an opportunity. You're like, oh, Booknight's a good example. Like, he fits exactly. They drafted a guy who fits exactly what they need him to be. I just don't expect him to be it as a rookie. Mm-hmm. But could be.
Right. I mean, we get a lot of number one picks being rookie of the year. But
yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon's won it. Michael Carter-Williams has won it. Like, even Damian Lillard coming in and winning it was a bit of a surprise. Tyreek Evans. That guy's come up from, I'd say it's not uncommon for somebody middle-ish of the lottery to be rookie of the year. Or it could be a number one pick or the guy who's the best in the draft like last year, even though he didn't go number one, LaMelo Ball. I had rated as. In the top of the draft. So,
and I think most of us had him. We looked at the opportunity. I think he was the betting favorite. I remember. I think we both picked him to be rookie of the year going into the season because we just thought not only had he shown the talent, but again, they were just turning the keys over to him.
Right. All right. I think we're going to come to some bigger numbers here for these final three categories. I know I am. So if you're down in this range, you're going to be picking them all. Sixth man of the year. I have 14 players.
Wow. You're ahead of me then. I had eight and I found that one challenging. Like who were your, who did you have?
Why don't you go first? Get your eight. It's a lower number. I'll fill in.
All right. I have Jordan Crawford. Defending champion. Did I say Crawford? Did I say Clark? Clarkson. I'll take. I'll also take Lou Williams. No, I'm just kidding. all the old winners. No, I said I wrote Crawford, but I meant Clarkson. And from the same team, Joe Ingles, who finished in the voting last year. I like Dennis Schroeder a lot. As a bounce back year. I'm curious if he plays within the system or if he just realizes he needs a contract and starts trying to jack up the shots for numbers and kind of blows things. But I think he has real potential. I have come around this preseason on Jordan Poole, who has been fantastic. I think Derrick Rose has a chance. Patty Mills. I have Patty Mills coming in here and I'm like, well, somebody, I'm putting a slash nets on that because I'm not with Kyrie out. Who's the bench carry?
Who's gonna start, right? There were a couple of guys where I'm like, oh, I don't know who's going to start.
Yeah, I feel that way with the Heat. Tyler Hero, I know, has real potential in that role, but Tyler Hero, I'm just not sure who's like what ultimately the rotations will look like. I think Duncan Robinson starts and Hero comes off the bench and he could be that guy in Miami, but somebody in Miami will be there. I have Jalen Brunson, who, again, I think is going to have a real opportunity. That was my eight. Did I say Derrick Rose? I meant to say Derrick Rose.
Yes, you did say Derrick Rose, who is my favorite for the awards. So obviously,
oh really? Can I ask why Rose as the favorite?
Well, I think he's comfortable coming off the bench. I think the Knicks are comfortable bringing him off the bench. Some of these guys, there's a little risk they could start. New York bias.
Yeah.
Some sense he should have won it last year from some corners.
Who else do you have, though? Did you have everybody I had?
So I think I only got 7 from you. I think I'm missing one from you. I did have everybody you had so far. I got Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, Dennis Schroeder, Jordan Poole, Derrick Rose, Patty Mills, Jalen Brunson.
Tyler Hero?
Oh, you did have Hero. Okay.
Yeah, I do have Hero. I do have Tyler Hero. I think that's, like I said, I'm curious what the rotation shakeout like. If you told me midseason Hero starts again,
yeah,
that could happen.
Yeah, especially if he's playing well enough to win sixth man of the year.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the Heat, I think it's very distinctly possible if it's kind of like I put the slash with Mills. If Mills ends up starting, somebody else on Brooklyn could really fill into that sixth man role. I think it's that case with the Heat. If Hero jumps up and just starts too many games to be a sixth man, there still might be somebody else coming off that bench who stands a chance, because I like their depth enough.
So I had everybody you had. Which is, I was a little surprised by that. The others I have, Kevin Huerter on the Hawks.
Interesting.
I've
never been as high as on Huerter as everybody else, and I think I'm just missing the boat there, but yeah.
Well, we'll see. Larry Nance Jr. on the Trailblazers. He could end up starting. I wouldn't be surprised, but he's not going to put the scoring numbers. I don't feel great about that. I've got Cam Payne on the Suns. His role might be too small behind Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But he's been good for a while. He was good in the playoffs. He was good in the regular season. He was good in the bubble. I don't think that was fluky. I have Montrezl Harrell on the Wizards, who I think as much as everybody
kind of forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Was hating on him last year. Like, he was still in the running for me for a sixth man of the year ballot. He has flaws, but he comes in and impacts the game in a certain way.
I will tell you that I think that's actually a really good call. And I'm kind of regretting not putting him on there. just because, going back and looking at the Lakers, didn't use him well. Or let me rephrase that. Didn't use him to his strengths. He is – when he won the award with the Clippers, it was as a pick-and-roll partner with Lou Williams. And Lou Williams won it the year before. But they were one of the better pick-and-roll combos in the league. They had a real chemistry together. He is ultimately – Montrezl Harrell is a guy who wants to set the pick, roll hard, use that energy, and can finish. They got away with that with the Lakers. They had him playing off the ball a lot more. They had him as a cutter. And it just didn't fit right. I think if the Wizards go back to using him as a pick and roll big off the bench and bring that energy again, they've got some, maybe with Spencer Dinwiddie at times, maybe with other guys on that roster, I think that that's a role that if they use him right, he could thrive.
Yep, I'm hoping for this. He gets a lot of minutes with Spencer Dinwiddie. It could work out fine with Aaron Holiday too.
Holiday's a good choice too. Yeah,
yeah. But if he's like staggered and playing with Dinwiddie, then I feel even better about it. And then my last two I have, I took both Gary Trent Jr. and Goran Dragic. Whoever's coming off the bench for the Raptors, I think has a chance. So for me to feel good about that, I needed to take both. I have here on the list. The Heat's rotation could shake out in a different way. Yeah. There's somebody I regret, but I wouldn't feel as good about another player winning it as I do Hero. For the Raptors, I needed both Trent and Dragic.
Yeah, I don't have a Raptor on there, but that absolutely could happen. The Raptors or team, I'm just finding I'm really curious where they end up falling in the East and what that team ends up like. I think they're better than I probably think they are, or they might be better than I think they are. There is some talent there, and they're going to bring some talent off the bench, whichever guy it is.
Yep. All right, let's jump over to most improved player. And because I am a huge coward, I needed 25 players.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure this is going to be your category.
Yeah, I had 10, and I thought that was low. This is the hardest to me always to predict preseason. It's the one I'm always least comfortable with, just because it is almost by definition an award that should surprise you, right?
Right. But is it, this is why we're doing this, right? Instead of saying, I'm going to pick one player for most improved player, because I think that just ends up being silly. Give me 10 guys that you feel good enough about where you're taking them over the field. To me, that says so much more than just picking one of those 10.
Yeah.
All right.
I have Jordan Poole, who, again, has kind of blown me away in the preseason. I think the betting favorite, it wasn't Michael Porter Jr. the betting favorite. He was earlier.
At times, yes. Currently at points better, at least as of last night, the favorite was actually Jordan Poole tied with OG Anunoby.
Oh, that's Anunoby's another guy I absolutely have on my list. Christian Wood, who I think people kind of sleep on and played really well, missed time with an injury a year ago. But I like RJ Barrett, I think, is a guy ready to already step forward this season. Tyrese Maxey is another guy who is not only can take a step forward, but with whatever's going on with Ben Simmons, just may get the opportunity, is going to be kind of thrust into that role. I took Matisse Thybulle, who we discussed earlier. Basically, I'm betting on him being able to shoot at some point, right?
Well, if he can do that, that would certainly make a good case for most improved player.
Yeah, exactly. I have Anthony Edwards in there, although I'm not – that one I'm less convinced about, but I think it is possible that he just makes such a leap that we cannot
– If I had to pick
– Go ahead.
If I had to pick one player for most improved player, it's Anthony Edwards.
Really?
I think he's got all the ingredients. He's got the raw talent. I think he was – I mean, part of the problem is he was overrated by a lot of people last year by how good he actually was. He showed a lot of things. He was very promising, and he was good by the end of the year, no question. I think the season he had overall – like, wasn't that good? I don't even think he cracked my top three for rookie of the year.
Didn't, because people climbed all over me for that.
Oh, good. Perfect. That's why I like.
Actually, I don't know if I've told this story like on a podcast. Like, I picked him third because I had it on my official ballot with Tyrese Haliburton second, just because Haliburton had a much steadier year. He was very good all year. Anthony Edwards was the second best rookie, maybe the best rookie by the very end of the season, but I counted that first half where he was genuinely dreadful against him, or was dreadful for at least a long stretch of it. And I got called out by a couple of Minnesota fans who were like, when the official votes became public, went hunting for who didn't put him second. And there were nine of us. And one guy literally added everybody. And when he went down the list, and I'm going to go blank on this off the top of my head, but he added everybody in a tweet. And I'm like, oh, Kevin Arnovitz, Kevin Pelton, Tim Bontemps, and on down this list of like, smart guy. Well, okay, I feel much better about this now that I see who I'm with. Like you just listed a bunch of people I really respect the opinions of. So, okay, I feel much better about, like, I was wondering if I was on an island among voters. And I'm, nope, not only was I not on an island, I was with, like, people I think are smart, way smarter than I. So, Anthony Edwards, though, could do it. Did I mention Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way? He would be on that list.
You have not gotten to him. He's high on the list for me.
Yeah. And Kevin Porter Jr. is another one. Every Porter Jr. gets in.
Yep. Yep. So you could try to sneak by with nine and just say Porter Jr.
Yeah, I could just say. So that was my 10.
Yeah. Mostly on my list. I didn't go with Christian Wood. I can't believe he didn't crack my top 25. My knock on Christian Wood is that, like, he's already pretty good.
That's the thing. Yeah.
But maybe people haven't noticed. I've thought he's good for a while, and I feel like he's been slowly and slowly getting recognition, and I'm not sure how much more he can break out. But yeah, he might be my number 26. I don't think that's a bad pick. I don't think RJ Barrett quite cracked my list. He could. He improved, I think, a lot from his rookie year to his sophomore year, and you could see that continuing to progress. Jordan Poole is actually somebody I had in my top three last year. Most improved player, but I think that's a good sign. I think often most improved player is somebody who has already improved, but people didn't notice fully, and then the year where they improve again and everybody notices, so you get 2 years of improvement. That's a good way to win. I like Jordan Poole. I'm gonna go through some of the other names I have. Stop me if you hear somebody you want to talk more about. DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish from the Hawks.
Good call.
Yeah, I had DeAndre Hunter like as my most improved favorite before he got hurt last year. Maybe he can pick up where he left off. Cam Reddish hasn't really had a chance to show what he can do, but look good for moments of the playoffs. I got Robert Williams on the Celtics in line for a bigger role. More players that you also had. I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
He just got maxed out. Don't we realize he's good?
Well, he hasn't been an all-star yet. So, right, I feel like first-time all-star is a place where you can get some value here. That's why I also had De'Aaron Fox. Not necessarily Ja Morant. Not necessarily predicting that they're going to be all-stars, but there's a chance there. Zion Williamson, I think.
I only left him off because of the foot injury.
Yeah.
And just my lack of trust that he's going to be in shape.
Yep, same. I mean, well, I had him just in. Maybe he would have cracked your top 25.
Yes.
Yes, if I were doing 10, I don't think he would have made it because of the foot injury. And part of his case is going to be based on, you know, not only playing better, but being more available. And that's off to
It's off to a bad start. But if he plays 70 games, give or take, he absolutely could be. I mean, he frankly could be all NBA. I mean, like he has that level of talent.
I had him on an all NBA team last year. He's one where I think was a little underrated last year for how good he was playing. And so maybe people will realize all that this year, give him some most improved player credit. I've got Zach LaVine with a history of improving throughout his career, and maybe he brings everything together. There's some rough spots in his game. His defense, his passing could be better. He improved so much as a scorer and improved some of those peripheral skills. But if he brings everything together and is the best player on a winning team because he's got a little bit more help, that could be a nice narrative for him. Darius Garland, young player, yes, shown some talent.
Almost put him on.
Yeah, hasn't quite put together. Lonzo Ball, similar to Zach LaVine, right? Could be going on to a winning team, could be getting a bigger role. He could benefit from the Bulls' boost. I've got Derek White and DeJounte Murray from the Spurs. They lost a lot of production. Somebody's going to have to step up there. If it's one of them, I could see them having some support there. But they're already, you know, solid players. We'll see. LaMelo Ball, second year jump. There are a lot of rough parts to his game he could iron out. I picked Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter Jr. from the Magic. They lost a lot of production between them. If one of them really seizes that center role, I can see that. Neither has, especially Bamba, hasn't been that good. A lot of room for growth.
There's a lot of room for growth. I have jumped off the Mo Bamba train. I've moved on.
Yeah, me too, mostly. But he also had some good reports coming out of the preseason on him, just enough to crack my top 25. I've got Alexei Pukashevsky, a really super weird talent. Looks good at times, looks horrendous at times.
Gonna get opportunities.
Yes, opportunities for sure. And then Patrick Williams, yet another Bull.
Yeah.
I feel like if that team makes a jump, maybe somebody will get the credit. Maybe they deserve it.
He might be the guy who most – they're going to need him, and if he gets – when he gets healthy, they need his defense. Yes. That is a horrific defensive team, and he is the one guy who can match up out there.
I think Lonzo Ball can too. But
that's true. That's true.
There's something else doing it in the front court, just where you're positioned to impact more things. Usually you don't win Most Improved Player because you get your defense together.
That's true.
But maybe deserve it, right? So he was my last one on there. So that's a big advantage to you on 10 to 25 there. I got a lot of extra picks. You're taking a little bit more risk. We'll see how it goes, right? This is the first year we're doing this. I don't know what the right number is. I don't know exactly how to balance.
Yeah, exactly. I find this to be, like I said, I went with 10, and I could have easily added. I think that was a good call on DeAndre Hunter. I thought about Sadiq Bey. There were some people in there where I just was like, that I left off to try to keep the number low that could have surprised me.
You know, I don't think I had Jeremy Grant written down, but I wanted to. I probably should have had him on there. Somebody who improved a lot last year, but wasn't as efficient. If he puts it all together, if he has that scoring and is efficient like he was earlier in the year and is defending like he did earlier in his career and is used to that burden, like, he could get it too. And there's somebody else who could be a candidate for first-time All-Star. I think that looks good on the resume for this award. I'm going to have a hunch that one more time you are going to come in underneath me after I was the low bid on all the early ones. Coach of the Year, our last category, I need an 11 to feel like I'm going to have the winner.
We tied.
Wow.
We tied. I had 11. We tied. Coach of the Year is another one where it's always like a hard category to pick because I am not pretending to be a scout. I am not pretending to be like, I'm not in the locker room for all these teams. I don't know. how much, I get a sense of how much like Monty Williams impacted that team, or Nate McMillan, because you could kind of see a distinctive, you know, change last year. But how much is Michael Malone and or Ty Lue like impacting things versus that being a veteran locker? Like, it's really hard to know. And I'm in LA, and it's hard to say with Ty Lue. Plus, again, the X's and O's stuff. Like, I certainly watch a lot of basketball and talk to people, and but I'm not a scout. I'm not going to pretend to say, man, it's all Rick Carlisle came into Indiana this year and totally changed the X's and O's and changed it. Like, I'm not that. I can't be that guy. So, like, I had to leave it. I had to leave a lot of names up there.
I mean, I agree. I had 11-2. I was surprised you did. So let's come back to listing our names, though, because now we're into the tiebreaker round. Yeah. So there are three categories where we had the same bid. Eastern Conference champion, Western Conference champion, and Coach of the Year. So you are going to get to pick between those three. You can pick first. Which one of those do you want? Which of those are you most confident in your group of teams or coaches?
I will go with East champs.
That's the one I wanted.
Sorry. We talked about this a little bit. I almost had the Heat in there because I'm higher on them than most. But at the end of the day, if it's them versus the field, I think it's still 80% chance it's Nets or Bucks. And maybe 20% it's the Heat, or 15% and 5% for fluky unexpected Hawks run, or whatever you want to call it, whatever that other percent is. To me, it's still Nets and Bucks, 1-2, the two dominant teams in the East. And I had the Nets pretty clearly ahead pre-Kyrie drama. Do you have them close now?
Yeah, I had them close before. I still have the Nets ahead. I mean, so which maybe says something about my confidence in how much Kyrie was going to contribute anyway. Losing Kyrie hurts. There's no question. The Nets are well positioned to handle it. There were diminishing returns in what Kyrie Irving brought when you already have Kevin Durant and James Harden. You'd rather have that excess talent and the diminishing returns. Now there's less margin for error if Kevin Durant or James Harden gets hurt. I think there's also a pretty solid chance Kyrie Irving is going to return point this year, one way or another. He has been very clear that he's not, at least publicly, he is not opposed to getting vaccinated. He said at Media Day that there's no limits on anything. In his Instagram video that I watched.
You deserve an extra day off or some hazard pay or something for having to sit through that and translate it. Or transcribe it.
He translated
at points.
Well, yes. He was open about, you know, his problem is that he feels pressed into a quick decision. I think that should be respected to a degree, right? The hesitancy. We've known for a long time this was coming. He also said he was told he'd get an exemption, so maybe he hadn't been thinking about this so much. I don't know. To me, I feel like if I could get regardless of whether I needed it for my job, if I could get a safe vaccine that would keep me healthy, that keep the people around me safer, I'd be very interested in it. I'd want to check it out, of course, right? It's fine to be skeptical. I want to check it out. But I think I'd be interested in that, just period, whether or not it's required for my job. So I feel like there have been many months to evaluate that aspect of it. And then even if you're not sure, once you know for your job. Anyway, long way of saying, I think he's going to be back playing eventually. We're talking about the playoff champion. So I still favor the Nets. I really like the Nets-Bucks picks. Just taking two of them against the field in the East. That might be, of any category, the one I was most felt most strongly about, where if you have those two, you're going to have the winner. It's not a lock. There are other teams out there in contention for sure. Let me scoop that one up first. And so I'm stuck debating between, am I more confident that I can name the Western Conference champion if I can name three teams, or more confident that I can name Coach of the Year if I can name 11 coaches? And I'm going to go with Coach of the Year.
Okay.
That's going to leave Western Conference champion to you. And let's just talk about that first while we're on conference champions. Do I have this correct from our previous discussion? Your three teams are Lakers, Jazz, Suns.
Yes.
Those have been my three also.
And I think the one wild card in there, and we briefly mentioned this before, I think during MVP, if Jamal Murray could come back and be Jamal Murray, I would absolutely have Denver in the mix. I'm just because the injury or the surgery was, I believe, in April, I'm just not convinced he can not only he probably is back on the court. I mean, you never know, but he's probably back on the court. But it's just, we all know with an ACL, there's still another, there's just another period of time before people are themselves again. And I'm just not sure he's going to be him, if and when he'll be himself. I think Denver could, I mean, we're way ahead of the game. Who knows? But I wouldn't be shocked if, when we're doing this next year, you and I both have Denver as a favorite to win it all, or come out of the West at least. Like, I think that they're that good when he's there. I just don't think they're going to be there yet this year. So I went with, I really prefer the Laker and the Jazz. I think the Suns need a lot of things to go right again, but I think it's also possible. And also, by the way, guys on that, there's still a lot of young guys on that team, Bridges and Ayton, and guys who could take a step forward for them.
Yep, agreed on all counts. We talked a long time without mentioning the Clippers. It's not impossible Kawhi Leonard comes back. I'm not betting on that, obviously, right? That's why we haven't talked about him. But if we're going to talk about the Nuggets, you know, there's a chance there for the Clippers.
And it was interesting what Kawhi said when he said he agreed to the multi-year extension. And I'll just say there was speculation going around Summer League that the Clippers pushed back on giving him 1 year. I don't know if that's true or not. That certainly floated around. But Kawhi, it's not just that he had the surgery in, was it June or May? No, it was June or July, right, when he had the surgery. It's not just how
you can tell time during these times. Good for you.
Yeah. But not only is it's that year, but I mean, he is a guy who puts in work, so maybe he gets back. But I think the bigger, just the history of Kawhi Leonard is he doesn't push through this, right? Not that he won't put in the work, but he is cautious about coming back.
Right. I just want to throw that as a possibility.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the Warriors, how I will, and think they're in the mix.
I will say this. If you're playing fantasy basketball, pick up Paul George.
Yeah.
He's going to put up numbers this year, man.
Yeah.
We neither of us put him in as our MVP, which partially I think speaks to, in my case, concerns about durability, but also concerns about I just don't think they'll win enough games for him to really get serious consideration against some of the other people on that list, but it could happen.
Oh, it absolutely could, for sure. Yeah. I mean, look, so when we're coming up with these numbers, we're not saying these are the only candidates. We're just saying, how many candidates do we need to be above 50%? That still leaves 40-some percent. You know, some of the team ones, it might be higher even. But a lot of these, we're just trying to get barely over 50%. We're trying to make this about even or just slightly in our in our favor. That's the whole point. It's not saying, I took six guys for MVP. It's not saying Jokic can't win, Harden can't win, Anthony Davis can't win, Paul George can't win. No. I think they got really good chances. I just think combined, they're like in the 40s. All right, last category we're going to talk about is Coach of the Year. That's the one I picked in the second tiebreaker. So I got 11 coaches. Let's see how much overlap we have. I've got Steve Nash with the Nets. I've got Eric Spoelstra with the Heat. I've got Quinn Snyder with the Jazz. I got Steve Kerr with the Warriors. Frank Vogel with the Lakers, Monty Williams with the Suns, Michael Malone with the Nuggets, Tyronn Lue with the Clippers, Rick Carlisle with the Pacers, Chris Finch with the Timberwolves, Nick Nurse with the Raptors, and I feel, you know, I don't have a single first-year head coach on there. Chris Finch is the closest. I don't have a single first-year head coach in there. I think it's often prime for a new head coach to win this. A lot of times they do win it because it's fresh. Nothing stale. It appeals to voters. You can see their impact right away. It's just hard to pick them because a lot of first-time head coaches flop. And so it's hard for me to put my faith in one of them. That's why I needed 11. That's why I needed such a high number, because those first-time head coaches out there, I didn't pick any of them. How does your 11 compare to mine?
Just a few differences. I do have one first-timer. I have Chauncey Billups in there. I think
that's probably the best bet.
That is the one guy who could make a real difference with that team. And by the way, when he saw part of him making a real difference compared to what Stotts had done there for many years before, it was not just him changing the offense or doing whatever or getting through to Damian Lillard. He gets Nurkic back for the whole season. You mentioned picking up Larry Nance Jr. Like, this is a better roster when healthy than it was a year ago. So they could be better just based on that. And he will get some credit for that.
So I think the Trailblazers and even the Mavericks have a chance in the West. That's the reason I pick Coach of the Year with 11 names over Western Conference over three. Like, I think the West is pretty wide open.
Yeah. I have Nate McMillan in there.
Yep, he was one of my tough cuts.
I think that Nate McMillan has a shot after what he did last year, taking over midseason and pushing the Hawks into the playoffs. I think that another big year from the Hawks gets him in consideration. The other guy, which is kind of a weird one and a long shot, but I just couldn't leave him off because if things go right, he could break his way. I think you have to have Doc Rivers. Now he is managing a mess of a situation, right? It's with Ben Simmons and how that's all going to shake out. But if that team comes back and gets a one or two seed, and that's not out of the question, if Embiid's healthy and playing like an MVP again, I think Doc Rivers gets a lot of, or gets at least mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I also think there's a lot of negativity around him of like, did you cause this mess? Did you not handle Ben Simmons the right way? And so if the team plays well, I think there's a lot of belief that they didn't need Ben Simmons, that he wasn't that good. You know, a lot of Ben Simmons detractors. Doc Rivers has a chance. He was one of the harder cuts. I'm with you. But that's why he didn't crack my top 11.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else you had that I did not?
No, that was the grist. I almost put Thibodeau on I think the Heat. I think the Knicks will be better. I just think they're going to fall back because the East got better. And if you made me pick one, by the way, as a favorite, if I were laying my money down on this at point bet, I'd probably do Monty Williams. He came so close. He came so close a year ago. Right. The Suns are still going to be very good, and I think that he gets some residual carryover. We'll go with carryover from last season. Some carryover goodwill
from the playoffs.
Yeah, from the playoffs, exactly. Like, last season, I had ended up voting for Tom Thibodeau. It's a regular season award.
Same.
But I think what Monty did in the playoffs shows – and part of it was, I think it also – to me, some people tried to point that out to be like, well, look what Monty did in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, Tom Thibodeau's team flamed out in the first round, which to me, the fact that he got them to a four seed speaks to how well he coached, because that was – you could see once a team could dial down on Julius Randle, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors making that thing work.
Yep, I agree. We saw that the same way. Who are the three coaches who I had who you did not?
Now you're going to make me go back through that. Excuse me. Who was on your list again?
All right, we're going to do it more rapid fire. You stop me when I get to one of the three. Steve Nash, Eric Spoelstra, Quinn Snyder, Steve Kerr.
I did not have Kerr. I'm not a big believer in the Warriors.
Yeah, see, this is coming up a lot through this. Frank Vogel.
Do not have him.
Okay.
But that was another hard leave off because I think if the Lakers are healthy and a top three seed, he's going to be in the mix.
Right. I mean, they could be really good in the regular season, and they even need to be top seed. But I feel like there's a lot of issues with their roster, how everything fits together. But we thought that his first year, and he made it look really good.
I think their defensive step back is going to hurt them, and that's more. Frankly, I'm not sure that's on him. That's on how Rob Pelinka has built this roster. But I think the defensive step back hurts the Lakers a little and hurts him.
Yeah, but if they don't have a defensive step back,
then
I think that might be because of him, right? Maybe I think he's a good defensive coach. I think
he is very
of making an impact there. I'm gonna guess the other one's Chris Finch.
Yeah, I did not have Finch.
Yeah, I thought he did good things with the expectations are low. If he gets them sneaking into the playoffs, that's gonna reflect well.
Are they a play-in team to you? I think they're in the. They can be. I think they can get there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're a play-in team. Also, I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs. But they have a path, right? That's what you're looking for with Coach of the Year. Is there a path? Is there a way? And I think this is unfair. So much of this is about exceeding expectations. You did a great job, but we expected you to do a great job. You're expulsory. You do a great job every year.
Yeah.
Like, you got the Heat to, be a high seed and look good. Like, but you're a good coach. Well, yeah, to me, we should just honor the good coach again. But I know that's not exactly how.
Yeah, that's not how. Well, I mean, in that case, it's like I don't think Greg Popovich forgot to coach. Like, I think he's going to, I, it's unlikely he wins this award. It's also unlikely that the Spurs are that good. But that said, the Spurs could surprise people, and there are some pieces there, so we'll see.
Yes. My counter to that is I also do think it's coach of the year. So if you're a really good coach with a lot of roster continuity, maybe you did all your good coaching in previous years and it's just carrying over and you're not actually making that big of an impact this year.
Is that your argument against Quinn Snyder?
So I have Quinn Snyder's on my list. I don't feel great about him for that reason. That would be my argument against him, but I'm high on the Jazz this year. If they are like a clear number one in the West, he might just win it. Whether or not I think he should, whether or not I think he did his coaching in a previous year, if they're just like running away with the Western regular season, he could just win it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting. I think, though, that you're going to see them. I think he's going to take a page from. And by the way, neither of us mentioned Budenholzer. I don't think he can live up to the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
short of them winning 72 games or something, I just don't see it happening.
Right.
I think with Snyder, you're going to see some stuff out of the Budenholzer camp, though, from last year where. You're going to see them try some different things on defense. You're going to see some different lineups. I think he understands now he's got to better prepare this team for what they'll see in the playoffs than he has in the past.
Yes, agreed. Well, we found enough disagreement here. We're pretty evenly split on how many categories each of us has versus the field. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You have the other 5. So we got 9. We're not going to have a tie. We'll see how this shakes out. We should
revisit this later in the season, or when we get close to talking about the awards at the end of the season. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. When we're actually picking who deserves to win these, we'll do our best not to be influenced by this, just to try and make ourselves right. We could both put it aside and say who we truly think.
I say it's so funny because occasionally, again, as a voter, I've had people like, well, you picked Jokic, so you wanted him last year. You wanted him to win MVP. I'm like, I got lucky. I mean, he was in the mix, and I thought the opportunity was there, and he's the guy I picked. But it was, you know, there's a whole lot of luck that goes into making these. This is why I don't bet for a living.
All right. Well, I think we've gone long enough on this. I'm going to go look up who the other people were. Who left off Anthony Edwards on Rookie of the Year? So that who you think is smart?
Well, not all of them, but there were oh, there were uh-huh. no, but oh, Tony oh. Jones. Well, that came out wrong.
Oh boy, now I really
Tony Jones was one of them. I'm not going to blank off the top of my head, but I just remember reading through that list. It was not even it was the people who had him third or lower, just and didn't have him first or second, and I was like, oh. I'm pretty proud to be in that group. I'll take that.
So you mentioned Bonteps, Arnovitz, Marv Albert in your group. Euchre. We can just do some of these.
Oh, well, okay.
Without comment.
Yeah.
Kurt Helan. So I might have just skated under because he wouldn't have even made my ballot. I see why you got the backlist. I didn't have an official vote. That always helps. But yeah, if everybody's just browsing through for a third, and Pelton's sharp. I'll come in on that one. Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic also sharp. Yeah, you got good company here.
Yeah,
I think you guys all overrated Edwards. I would have had him off the ballot, but third, I would have had him fourth or so. Maybe I don't know. I'm not even sure if he made my All NBA first team. Now I'm rookie team.
And now I have to go look that up. Yeah. He did. He was on my All Rookie first team. That I do know.
Well, this is why I'm a believer in for most improved player, because I thought he was playing great by the end of the year, not that good throughout the season, didn't have a good season. That's why I do for most improved player, mostly. How was your season compared to your previous season?
Yeah, and by the way, nobody was watching Timberwolves games by the end. Like, despite him playing well, that was not the best basketball team in the world. So
No. Okay, he did make my first team. I would have had him fourth. I see that now. Okay. Nobody can hate on me too much. I'm believing him now. We're all on the same page. I believe he's going to be most improved player. He's my one pick. I didn't have to make one pick because we did all this. Kurt, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. We'll do this again soon. But we got to change the name of this to Voice of the Voiceless podcast, or are we just going to keep it at PBT?
I think Voice of the Voiceless is a perfect name because we just spent an hour talking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the Voiceless do.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday Savings only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.